Rebecca. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this evening. If you can, let's just stand. Any spoken prayer request on my right side? Your mother. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Anyone else? I don't want to miss anyone. All righty. Any spoken prayer request on my left side? Great. Of course, I'm just going to... Also, those unspoken prayer requests, just show by the raising of your hand. You know, God is great. He knows everything that we need. He knows every situation. We did get some, for those of you that didn't hear, that don't see the text blast, Brother Greg made it through surgery. He's still now, he's out of recovery yesterday, and now he's in the process of getting him settled. And we just want to continue to keep him in our prayers as they continue to process from the surgery to the transition that he's going to need. So let's keep him in prayer. And all the other spoken and unspoken, you know, there are those traveling. You can see some empty spots here tonight. So we just want to keep all of them in our prayers too. So let's all go to the Lord in prayer. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, we just love you. And dear Lord, we just praise your holy name. Dear Lord, we thank you, dear Lord, for this time you've given us tonight, dear Lord, to gather together in your name and in your house. Dear Lord, as we come together, may we be in one mind and one accord, dear Lord, ready just to praise and worship you, dear Lord, in everything sung, everything said, and everything done. Dear Lord, we just love and praise you. Again, dear Lord, we thank you, dear Lord, for your love and mercy. Lord, now we're going to bring up each and every prayer request, dear Lord. There seems to be a lot these last few days that's come across. I ask you to be with each and every situation, those spoken and unspoken. Lord, we love you and we thank you for knowing what we need even before we ask. And Lord, we're placing our families into your mighty hands, dear Lord, those in our church. Those special prayer requests, those that are sick and shut in, not able to be with us, or even to be able to get out of the hospitals and the nursing homes. Lord, do be with the nursing homes and assisted livings, dear Lord. We just love and praise you. Lord, we thank you, dear Lord, for the comfort you give us. And dear Lord, for those that have lost loved ones, for those situations that's going forward, dear Lord, we just place them into your mighty hands. Now, God, we just thank you. Thank you for this time again, dear Lord, and we just love and praise you. In the most precious name above, in the name of Jesus Christ, everybody says, amen, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise God, praise God. While you're standing, turn to page 177. Are you washed in the blood? I know there's a monitor not working tonight. They're getting it fixed. It's a new monitor. We just got to get it all connected. Are you washed in the blood?
Are they white as snow? Are you washed?
seated if you can. We'll call on some special singers here in a minute. Miss Brenda, you got a song? God, hallelujah. Just love the Lord this evening. I just hope, again, as I said, everyone's doing well. Just want to thank Him. I've only got one announcement sitting here that I need to bring forth to each of you. Don't forget this Friday night at 7 p.m. over in the Curtis Center. We're having our quarterly business meeting. We'd like to invite each and every one of you to attend, if you will. And we would like, you know, it's a special time and it's an opportunity to gather together on all the business the church is providing. So just make plans, if all possible, and come join us. Praise the Lord. Thank you, brother. Right. Any other announcements? I don't want to miss any. Brother Chris, thank you. Would you ask the Lord? Yes, Lord.
It is good to be in God's house tonight. People said I'd never make it. I'd never see it through. But they don't know. Thank you.
Well, I know Chris is back there in the sound booth, but I just want to thank the Lord because his scan was free and clear of any cancer. I just thank the Lord because, you know, it's in the waiting. You know, why should we worry? I mean, why do we doubt God? You know, he's got it under control. And I know he kept checking his phone and I kept checking mine, waiting for that to be in his chart. And so today he was busy at work and I clicked on it right before I went to lunch. And I was just like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us once again. Worship with me.
Breaks a man, breaks him down to his knees. God, I've been broken more than a time or two. Yes, Lord, then he picked me up and showed me what to do.
Testimonies of praise, testimonies of what God's done in our life through answered prayers, through just situations that we know there's no way that anything would ever, it had to be God. Has anybody ever faced that before? Have you ever had that victory that you can claim right now or those blessings you can claim? There is no way things would be fixed but without God. And we know prayer's been made, and we know situations of people that's just going through surgeries, those that have procedures going forth. Yes, ma'am. Testimonies, but with God, He was able to work a way to get him in. And that's always going to be your testimony. But God stepped in. Amen. Prayer was answered. Hey, remember those promises to God, because that's the most important thing that we follow through. Something a little different tonight. I'm going to ask congregation, Miss Penny, where can I go? As we talk about testimonies, we talk about screenings going for scans, and they say there's no more cancer. We talk about surgeries. Maybe they saw something in there that we didn't expect, but we know God's got it, and He's going to guide us through. So I'm going to ask y'all to stand, if you will. Join me in singing, Where Could I Go? Praise God. Page 345. Caught Miss Penny off guard on that one. I'm sorry. I'll follow. To save me in the end.
rains manna from above. Where could I go but to the Lord? Yes, Lord.
Just tell somebody how great God is in your life, and if we want to, just thank Jesus for all His many blessings. Brother Idiot, all yours, sir. God is great, isn't He?
Well, glory to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? It's good to see this good turnout tonight. We appreciate you being here. What a blessing it is. Amen. Yes, sir.
Man, what a top it up. These that I have in my eyes.
Amen, Brother Allen. I believe that with all of my heart. For a number of years, Brother Allen has been having a reoccurring issue or problems with his eyes. And very few times do I remember when you went to the hospital that they actually gave you encouraging news. Most times they gave you negative news or bad news or what is impossible, what can be done and can't be done. And And this has been going on for years after years after years. And as you said, you would come and get prayer, and God would bless you. And actually, your eyes started getting better every time that they told you a negative. So I'm going to take this, that my faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. And the news that they give you, that God's going to turn that around and make good news out of it. And I know you know where your healing comes from. I know you know where your strength comes from. And the doctors can only see what they can see. But faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, church, we're going to bind together, aren't we? We're going to pray for Brother Allen, that God's going to come on the scene again and touch and anoint his eyes like he has in the past. And I can give you hope. When we get over there, we're not going to need these things, amen? When we get that glorified body, in fact, there's not going to be an ailment. There's not going to be an issue. There's not going to be a problem. We're going to have a glorified body that's going to last for an eternity, amen? So let's just hold on, amen, because God's going to do it. God's going to fix it, and he will make a way until he takes us home to be with him. My, thank you for sharing that, Brother Allen, in the church. And myself, we're going to be continuing to pray that God would strengthen your eyes and bless and anoint you. Amen. I do admire you, even because of all of that. He's still working. Amen. He's still providing, and he has not given up. And I really admire him for doing that. A lot of people would say, oh, you know what? I'm not going to be able to work or anything else. But he has, even though it's been an obstacle, he still worked and done what he can. Amen. Keep on keeping on. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, amen, go with us to the book of, and I'm not coughing, it's Habakkuk. Habakkuk. Amen. What a name. How would you like to go through life with the name of Habakkuk? I think I could just let them call me Cook or Hab. In the book of Habakkuk, in the third chapter, it's a very, very short book in the Bible, but a very entertaining book and a very profitable book from a prophet of God. Habakkuk was probably known as one of the minor prophets. Not that he was less important than the other prophets, but there wasn't as much written from this particular prophet as there was, say, Jeremiah and Isaiah, the long, long books that they wrote. But nevertheless, there's some wonderful reading in it. I want to go to the 17th verse in the third chapter, reading verse 17 and 18. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's word. The prophet writes in verse 17, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet, everybody say yet. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, for your holy and precious word. For those who've gathered here tonight, God, I pray an abundant blessing upon each and every one. Those that are sick, those who are afflicted, God, who may be viewing tonight, I pray that you would reach out to them, strengthen, heal, and touch and anoint. God, we thank you for the wonderful testimonies of praise this week. We know that you've been a busy God, and we're so thankful, God, that you sustained those who were having procedures and those who were having scans, and we received the good news, Lord, by faith, and we believe you're going to continue to bless. I humbly ask now, Lord, that you would just anoint this vessel, God, anoint, use these lips of clay tonight, God, that you might get honor and glory, God, and give us direction tonight, and we'll be so careful to give you praise and honor and glory. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. If you love the Lord Jesus, give him praise, and you may be seated in the house of the Lord tonight. Again, I just want to echo how wonderful it is to see this good turnout on Wednesday night. I told Sister Penny, I said, are you sure this is the end of the month of April? It seems like more and more like maybe the end of October, November with the weather like it is, but I got a feeling it's going to warm up. Amen. I just got a strong feeling that it's going to warm up. Don't know when, but I would imagine it won't be too many weeks down the road. We'll be saying, my Lord, isn't it hot? Because that's just the way we are, right? Amen. Tonight I want to bring a message, yet I will rejoice. Yet I will rejoice. I want to read just a little bit of a background of Habakkuk. He is the author of this book, it says, and it was written around 607 B.C. Habakkuk asked God two questions. You know, we've always been instructed, don't ask why. Don't ask God why, because he knows what he's doing. He knows the outcome. How many knows we're in a body of flesh? Sometimes the flesh is weak. Sometimes the flesh don't understand the move in the mind of God, and we are kind of prone to question God sometimes, even if we don't do it vocally. We may question him in our heart. Why is this happening? Habakkuk was human as well. Here's the two questions that he writes in the book or asks. Why does God permit wickedness to continue here in Judah? Now, think about that. Have we ever, in our prayers or meditation, even whether we spoke it out or not, say, God, why are you letting all this happen? Why is all this evil and this perverseness going on in the world? Well, we're not the first ones to ever pose that question. And the other one was, why does God use wicked people to punish those perceived as more righteous than the invaders? In other words, Judah and Israel were being constantly invaded by paganistic countries and paganistic tribes and those that did not did not believe in God, so he couldn't understand, and these are some of the questions that he asked. God responds by assuring Habakkuk that what he, or God, has chosen to do is right. Sister Rose, you just said that, didn't you? Yeah, maybe we'll question him, but God will assure us that what he's doing is right. That the faith of the people will be rewarded. Habakkuk is a profound statement of faith in God's dealing with his people. So I just read two particular verses there in chapter 3, and Habakkuk is basically trying to encourage the people of Judah, or God's people, that no matter what happens in the nation, no matter what falls upon them, no matter, and here he uses basically, if we were doing it today in this kind of verbiage, we'd say, well, even if the stock market fails, even if my job is gone, even if the company that I work for is dismantled, even if the house I own is no longer my home, even if my cupboard is bare, here he's talking about the crops, even if the crops fail, and the reason he's using all this is that was what the economy was based on. It was based on the olive and how that they grew the olives and that made the oil and all of the wonderful things there and the fig trees that did all the things that the figs and the grapes of the vines and even the, he said, even if the meat, there's no more meat, the flock shall be cut off and all of these things and the herd is gone from the stalls. If all of this happens in a matter of time, and then he uses the word yet. Everybody say it again, yet. Yet is a very profound word, even though it's a three-letter word. And it has a great meaning in this particular passage that Habakkuk is using. Because it changes the whole demeanor of the situation. How many knows that sometimes words change the whole meaning? You know, if changes a lot of things, right? If I wasn't ugly, I'd be good looking, right? If changes a lot of things. It makes a totally different statement. So does yet. Yet. And then he says, if all of these things fail, if the economy hits rock bottom, if I lose everything that's near and dear to me, I wish I had Job here to back me up because he could give a personal testimony of what happens when things are suddenly and devastatingly taken or stripped from you for no reason at all. You didn't deserve it. It's not God's punishment. Don't ever think that God's wrath is poured out. We have not seen the wrath of God. Thank God for that. We're living in a time of mercy and grace, and he exemplifies his mercy to us and his love and his abundant pardon to us. We ought to be very, very thankful, but there will be a time of wrath for the disobedient, for those who do not heed the call. But here, Habakkuk is telling the children of God here, you know, this may happen, and it could happen. But if it does happen, don't lose hope. Don't turn your back on God. He said, in all of these things, if they all happened in succession, and one thing right after another, how many's ever, and not, don't raise your hand or don't respond, but how many of us at times have seen things come in bunches? Daddy used to tell me sometimes that troubles are like bananas. They come in bunches. I didn't pay too much attention to that then because I really never did like bananas. But I found out what he talked about when I got a little mature and grow up in responsibility. Sometimes things are just come at you in different directions. You know, have you ever said, man, I wasn't expecting that. If you had, you'd probably plan for it. But those things, sometimes they don't give you any warning. So the prophet here was saying, what if all of this begins to take place? Now, I know that we're talking about a time back in 600 B.C., but we can relate to that today. How many is aware that things are kind of topsy-turvy in the world today? Things, if you might agree and you might not agree, that's all right. It's your whatever, you know. Do you want to, everybody's entitled to their own thoughts, you know. But, you know, I've been in this world for a number of years, and it doesn't seem like this is probably some of the best of times in my life. Maybe it's because I'm aware of more. Maybe it's because of the news media gets it out all the time. But, you know, if you look around, things are not going really, really well. You know, we're blessed. We're still blessed. But imagine the things that you and I are accustomed to are suddenly snatched away. Imagine if you would, if you did not have the freedom to get in your automobile and go to the grocery store and buy the things that you need. We just experienced a little bit of that. How many went shopping not too many months ago and some of your favorite stuff wasn't on the shelves? Anybody ever do that? You know, and all of a sudden you look around and there's empty shelves and all. You know what happened? We've been so spoiled just to go to get whatever we want. But imagine a time if you walked into the grocery store and there were nothing on the shelves. Or you went to the gas station and there was no gas to be pumped into your automobile. Or you went to flip your light switch on and there was no electricity. And I know this would be a devastating blow, but you picked up your cell phone and there was no power. I mean, we can get without groceries, we can be without gas, but don't you bother my cell phone, amen? Would we yet rejoice? Would we yet, in spite of the circumstances, in spite of all the things that we're accustomed to, the things that we surround ourselves, the things that make our life more convenient and more simple, were suddenly or successionally snatched away, would we yet praise the Lord and glorify Him? If we are praising Him for the right things, I believe we would. You know, I don't really praise the Lord for electricity. I praise the Lord that He makes a way. And if He makes a way, amen, the fringe benefits are all of these things that He just kind of blesses us with. But if those things were taken away, I want to feel within my heart, I want to feel within my soul that I have a close enough relationship with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that I could look up to heaven and I say, thank You, Lord. Thank You for saving me. Thank You, Lord, for the relationship that I have. Thank You for the fellowship that I have. And I know that You will provide. Because my faith is not in what I have. My faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to maybe spend a little bit of time on the word yet. The definitions that I wrote here, one of them says still, not S-T-E-A-L, but S-T-I-L-L. Still. You know, still means sit still, but still means also there's a time, wait a minute, still. I love you still. You know, I'd like to do this still. I'd like to be rich still, but I ain't. But still kind of means the same thing. It's a definition of yet. So I'm not trying to change the word in the Bible, but I want you to just listen to this. When Habakkuk reads verse 17 or writes verse 17, just for the sake of tonight, rather than using the word yet, after all of these things happen, verse 18 says, still I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. We understand that, don't we? Yet, maybe. But still That means I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to praise him anyway. I'm going to praise him no matter what. I'm going to praise him when I don't feel like it. It's easy to praise him when you're feeling good. It's easy to praise him when things are going your way. It's wonderful to praise him when we hear a good report. But you know what? Even if the report is not good, we still need to praise the Lord. Amen. Because he's not through working yet. You see, we haven't seen the finished product of our prayer. You know, Karen was singing a little song when she came home from, I think it was kindergarten or something, said, he's still working on me. He's still working on me to make me what he wants me to be, or something similar to that. Sometimes God's still working out prayers for us, and we've only seen just a small portion of what the prayer request is, and it doesn't look like that's what we really prayed for, but you got to remember God's still working on it. He's customizing it, and he's making it just for you. So the second definition it gave, this was a little longer, but at the same time. Say that with me tonight. But at the same time. Let's plug that into there and see how that goes. After Habakkuk writes all of these things, the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines. The labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. But at the same time, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Oh, what a powerful, powerful way of saying that, Lord, no matter what, I will rejoice. You know, you have to rejoice sometimes when you don't really feel like rejoicing. But the spirit that is within you always wants to rejoice. It's the flesh. It's the flesh that gives us our biggest problems. Amen. It's the flesh that gets accustomed to these things, these material things. It's not really the spirit. The spirit knows that God's going to provide. Amen. How many would agree with me tonight that no matter what, God will provide? Amen. He'll provide what we need. He'll provide. And just it's just a means to an end. Amen. I'm not going to load up anything to take to heaven with me. How about you? I don't need to. Everything that I have down here will not help me one bit. In fact, I don't even care for it because I'm going to a place that everything that I'm going to have need of is already provided. Glory to God. If you believe that, give the Lord praise. Amen. Okay, the third is one of my favorite words in the Bible. And I know you've heard me refer to this when Jesus prays the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. There's a mindset, there's a change that takes place as Jesus is praying, knowing his destiny, knowing what lies in his very near future. No, I believe even knowing the pain that he is going to have to endure, the humiliation, the cruel cross of Calvary, the crucifixion, the sneers and the jabs of all the multitude are there. And he's praying, He knows, he sees all of this. And he knows he's going to have to go through it. And he asks the Father. He said, Father, you know, basically, if it was us praying, is there another way? Because he says, if it be thy will, Lord, let this cup pass from me. What this? He's not talking about a cup of drinking. This cup of crucifixion, this cup of dying on the cross. Isn't there another way for redemption for the people? But blood is never going to change. There has to be blood for the atonement of sins. And then he really doesn't even wait. This is what's so wonderful. He really doesn't even wait for the Spirit of the Father to respond to him. He says, nevertheless, yet. Nevertheless, thy will be done. Not mine, but thy will be done. So nevertheless is the third basic definition of the word yet. So let's read it again. After Habakkuk writes all of these terrible things that could take place. He didn't say it's going to take place. He said, what if it does? What if the economy goes? What if everything that we hold near to us is gone? All of our ways of making a living, all of our houses, all of our food, everything is gone. And we're basically left with no material things whatsoever. He said, even though those things are gone, yet I will rejoice. Still, I will rejoice. But at the same time, I will rejoice. But thirdly, it also means basically nevertheless. Nevertheless, I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad, and I will praise the Lord. Amen. Because I know that the most important thing in my life is the Spirit of God that dwells within me. That's the one thing that I cannot ever, ever stand to lose, because I have to have that Spirit of God. Everything else may fall away. But you know what? Even the things that were taken and stripped from Job, God didn't take them. Satan took them. Satan would like to strip you of everything you got. But you know what? Even if that happens, what did God do for Job? The last 140 years of his life, he lived a wonderful life. God just didn't restore him. He multiplied blessings, gave him more than he ever had, gave him more than he had to begin with. Somebody ought to say, praise the Lord. Just, you may be going through something right now and you're thinking, man, I just don't know if I can take anymore. Wait till you see. Wait till you see. Amen. Wait till God gets finished. And all of a sudden you say, my Lord, have mercy. He just keeps blessing and blessing and blessing. So you know what? I'm going to rejoice through my trial. I'm going to rejoice through my hardship. I'm going to rejoice when things are taken from me, because what they can't take away from me is the Spirit of the Lord that dwells within this body. Hallelujah. And I'm going to hold on dearly to that. That's the most precious, precious thing that is in my life. So nevertheless, all of these things are gone. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I've often said, Holy Ghost filled people, Christians, ought to be the happiest people in the world. But, you know, I think we mentioned this a little bit last night. You know, if you're a Christian and you're a believer and you really love the Lord, you know, and you have the little wristband that says WWJD or honk if you love Jesus, and your characteristic doesn't bear that out, or your demeanor doesn't bear, you're going around with a long face, or What was we talking about? The blowing of the horn, wasn't it? That's how that came up last night in our men's brotherhood meeting. We was talking about the Christian is blowing the horn for somebody to get out of the way, and all over the car's got Jesus stickers. What kind of testimony is that, you know? But, you know, again, that's the impatientness of the flesh. I guarantee it's the Spirit said, just calm down. You said it was your wife, right? Wife says, calm down. But the Spirit sometimes, if we'll listen to it, says, hey, just take it easy. Calm down. Come on. Give the Lord a chance. Aren't we quick to give up on the Lord sometimes? But God hadn't done it yet. I guess it's not His will. Listen, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Give God a chance. Amen. God will always make a way. I want us to go over to the book of Matthew as we, before we end tonight, because these are the words of Jesus. I mean, those are the letters of red. All the words are abundantly important, but the speaking of Jesus and how that he taught. And imagine all this that he done in basically 3.5 years. That was his ministry. The Jewish custom was that you could not become a priest or a minister or a rabbi until you were 30 years of age. And then, of course, he was crucified at the age of 33 and a half. So for 3.5 years, look at all the profound writings and all that were recorded of what Jesus taught and how wonderful. And we're still living by those precious words today. So in the 6th chapter of the book of Matthew, verses number 31 through 34. In fact, the whole chapter is really, really good for the day that you and I are living in, but especially verse 31 through 34. Because Jesus is basically taking up the same format that Habakkuk was talking about. In other words, that our faith and trust should not be in material things or things of this world, things that we need and things that we can use. That's one thing. But that's not where our salvation lies. That's really not where your peace lies. Your peace and salvation is in a relationship with Jesus Christ. So Jesus says to the people there on the mount, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, there was a multitude listening to him. And he said in verse 34, therefore take no thought saying, what shall we eat? if that's the most important thing in our life, Jesus is saying, take no thought for that. Or saying, what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Have you ever, and again, don't raise your hand, but have you ever been praying and said, God, you know what I need? And he responds, duh. I'm God. I know exactly what you need. You know, all you have to say is, Lord, give me this day my daily bread. Lord, I know you're going to supply whatever it is I need. Lord, as long as I've got you, amen. What's that song? Long as I got King Jesus. Long as I got King Jesus. Long, long, long as I don't need nobody else. Amen. You know, if you got Jesus, he'll provide all of those needs for you. So he says, don't take no thought for all of those things. Where will you be shall be closed. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things should be added unto you. Man, what things? The things that you need. The things that you need to occupy till he comes. I believe with all of my heart that God will supply our needs and my needs. You know, Brother Jim brought it up again last night, the meal barrel. You know, God didn't fill the meal barrel up. Had you rather have a full meal barrel or a meal barrel that'll never be empty? I think I'll take the one that is never empty. Because if one's filled up, I might want a whole lot of biscuits one morning. I might empty that thing myself. But imagine going back every day and there's just enough again to make it more. That's a miracle. Amen. And you know what? God doesn't love that widow woman any more than he does us. And he will provide our needs. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, I know that we have to occupy. The Bible says we have to occupy till he comes. I'm not saying turn your alarm off and say, you know what, I'm never going to work a day again in my life. I'm not going to get up on Monday morning. God's going to provide. Yeah, but God gives us the ability. Amen? He gives us the ability to do these things and to apply our life and do the right thing. It'd just be like, you know what, Lord, I believe you could just let my grass grow to a certain height and not get any bigger, no matter how much rain. And God could do that. But he's blessed me with a lawnmower. And he's blessed me with the ability to use it. So I'm going to cut grass. And I'm going to give God praise. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the opportunity to cut grass. That may sound crazy, but, you know, again, I'm thanking God that he has blessed us. He has given us that ability. But again, none of that stuff can compare or should ever compare to that is within me. You know, I think about my dad sometimes, and I used to wonder, because when we first got the riding lawnmower, he just fell in love with it and was cutting the grass until he found out it's not really all that much fun, so he started letting me and my brother cut the grass. But at first, it was a lot of fun to him, and he was cutting the grass, and he would sing on the lawnmower, and he would sing loud on the lawnmower. We lived in a subdivision, and Mother, on several occasions, would go out and say, and you know how Mother's, Charles, will you pipe down? Whole neighborhood can hear you singing, you know. But Daddy was just so happy just singing on that lawnmower, you know. And you know, it wasn't because he was cutting grass. It was because, God, I just love you. I praise you, glorify you. And I got a little bit of my daddy in me, because I kind of got in a situation where I did basically the same thing when I was on a bread route. And this was the older trucks. They wasn't the box trucks. These were the step vans, and they had the racks in them that rattled. And after you put all the bread off and it was headed back to the warehouse in the evening, the empty racks would rattle. And there was no, they didn't come with radios, and some of the guys would put radios in there, but you couldn't hear nothing but the rattling, you know. But since I couldn't hear nothing but the rattling, I got to using the rattling as a way of singing and praising the Lord. In the name of Jesus, we got the victory. You know, just going down the road and going down the road and singing, you know. And then, of course, the red light caught me, you know, and I stopped. The truck stopped. The rattling stopped. But I didn't stop singing. And I was just singing like everything. And I looked, and this lady that was in front of me, she was looking up in the rearview mirror like, bless his heart. You know, he ain't all there, I know. You know, I could tell the way she was looking at me. But you know what? That's all right, because I was praising the Lord. I was sweaty from a day's work and had to go empty all that, but I was praising the Lord. Yet will I praise Him. Yet will I rejoice. When all these things fall by the wayside, still I will, but at the same time I will, and nevertheless I will rejoice in the Lord, for my joy is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know where your joy is tonight? That's the one constant thing that you can count on for the rest of your life, not only here, but for an eternity. If you love the Lord, give Him praise tonight. God bless you. We love you so very much. Hope that those words were encouraging to you. If not, go back and read them. I believe you'll be blessed. I really got excited reading about that and thanking God. You know what? Sometimes I think we all need to rearrange our priorities. And I want always my priority to be my relationship with the Lord above everything else. Amen. Because I can stand to lose everything else, but I can't stand, could not ever stand to lose my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is so merciful and so wonderful. If you would stand tonight, we'll give you an opportunity. If you need prayer tonight, never ever want to dismiss a service without giving you an opportunity to come forward. We appreciate your attendance tonight. Appreciate you being here. Amen. I know we give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Give yourself a hand clap tonight. You did good. Y'all really did good. You look good tonight. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This is your opportunity. If you need prayer, please come forward, and I will assure you that we will pray with you and we'll pray for you. While every hand or every head is bowed and every eye closed, if you just have a prayer request, just lift your hand up, and I'll remember to pray for those situations. I won't come to you or nothing like that. I'll just agree with you in prayer this week that God will meet that need. All right. Brother Jim, if you would come tonight, dismiss us with a word of prayer. God bless you. Don't forget Friday night, the business meeting. Everyone.
Amen. Love the word of God. Praise the Lord. It is great to see y'all tonight. I'm glad we had a good turnout. Those of you watching online, we welcome you anytime. Join in with us, or if you're watching at a later date. Also, if you have a prayer request, please put it in the comments section. And we will be more than willing, more than honored to pray with you, because we all pray in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Also, if you have a testimony, put that in there too. And let's just continue to praise God and all that He's doing. All hearts and minds clear. Praise God. As Brother Eddie just said, don't forget the business meeting Friday night. Look forward to seeing all of y'all there. Also, a personal invitation. We want to continue to grow. We've got some new families that are with us joining our church, some that are coming back that we haven't had the opportunity to visit with in a while, and we're just really excited. Know that we got large Sunday school classes, and we'll make room for everybody. Have two adults and multiple kids classes. So make plans to come to Sunday school if you possibly can. I'm always going to invite you to Sunday school. It's a wonderful time. Praise God. All righty, with this prayer, we're going to be dismissed. Our most gracious and heavenly God, Lord, we love you and we thank you. Jesus, in your name, Lord, do we come, dear Lord, and we just praise you, dear Lord. We thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for allowing us to pull up to your table and feast on your word. Lord, I thank you for the testimonies of praise, dear Lord, and we thank you for answering those prayer requests been brought forth. Lord, now as we prepare to depart, keep us safe. Bring us back at our appointed time, dear Lord, and we ask you to guide us. Lord, again, we're going to pray for our business meeting, our quarterly meeting Friday night. You have blessed our church so abundantly, dear Lord, and we thank you for your blessings. We ask again always for your word to be and that your spirit be in tune with everything that we do, that we're in tune with you. And, dear Lord, may your word goes forth as we go. And, Lord, we just give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Have a wonderful, wonderful.